Are you ready? Stand by.
Welcome to the 3-Gun Show, episode 28. I am your host, Dave Hartman, and today we are joined by Aaron, Jake, and George of Hex Mag. Before we get into the interview, I want to thank you for downloading and listening to the show. The 3-Gun Show is a weekly podcast dedicated to the fastest-growing shooting sport, 3-Gun. We've been running a couple giveaways in the last couple of weeks, and we picked a winner in Hunter Kale's giveaway, so be sure to listen to the end of the show to see if your name was drawn. All right, on to the show. In this week's interview, I speak with Jake and George of Hex Mag at their headquarters and then catch up with Aaron later at Jensen Arms. Hex Mag is a young company making some very attractive AR-15 magazines right in my backyard in Loveland, Colorado. I'm testing out a new recording setup, so if things sound a bit different than they usually do, just roll with it. One cool thing is I got to experience recording in a live environment and dealing with distractions of like a, you know, busy office, copier sounds, interruptions from customers checking out product, and things like that. There's a lot going on, but the guys at Hex Mag were very generous with their time and gave us a peek behind the scenes of a very unique operation. So you're going to hear Aaron or I breathing in your ear a few times, but I'm working out the bugs, and this type of recording setup is going to mean more awesome interviews for you from 3-Gunners actually at the range while shooting major matches in the future. Links to everything we cover in the interview can be found in the show notes. So if you're listening to this at the gym or on the way home from a match, be sure to head over to the show notes at 3gunshow.com/episode28 when you get in front of your computer. And now please join me in welcoming the show, George, Jake, and Aaron of Hex Mag. All right, I'm here with Jake and George from Hex Mag, and we're going to be chatting a little bit about the history of the company, the products that you guys are producing now, stuff you have in the pipe. But I want to hear a little bit about you guys first. George, what's your background? Who are you when you're not at Hex Mag?
I'm usually just passed out on my bed watching TV because that's about all I can do after working here for 12 hours a day. But I have a lot of hobbies. Machining, woodworking, cycling, two wheels and pedals. I do some gun shooting now that I'm in the business, so that's another hobby. Every time I get a hobby, it costs me money, so I'm trying to keep my hobbies to a minimum.
Yeah. Take up maybe yoga or something? Got a $13 mat.
You know, if it doesn't require actually machining tools or screwdrivers, then I generally don't pick it up as a sport.
That's great. You know, that's a thing I hear a lot from shooters and guys in this industry, that, you know, the mechanics and the you know, the tactile mechanical type stuff is what drew him to the sport in general. So Jake, how about you? What's your background, and who are you when you're not a Hex Mag?
Kind of the same thing as George, except for, you know, I got about 25 acres where I live, so I'm usually out testing products at night. So work here all day and then go home and test products. So.
That's cool. Testing products for here?
Yep.
Okay. And so your background, you mentioned earlier, is automotive. So what drew you into this?
Another avenue that I could use my sales and marketing skills. I mean, I went to college for that just so I could get out of, you know, turning wrenches, and it's just... I found this job and I fell in love with it. So
cool. Where'd you go to college?
Denver.
Denver?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I went to Colorado State, got a marketing degree from there too. But when I went, they were teaching about like billboard advertising and ad placement and stuff like that in radio spots. So this was pre-Facebook, pre-Instagram, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, when I first started out, I worked at the Colorado one. So
okay.
Doing newspaper stuff. So starting in the ground floor with
like ad sales and
newspaper
stuff?
Ads. Yeah.
How was that?
It was good. It was challenging. I mean, I did the automotive ads, so it was great to work with all the dealerships and everybody in Fort Collins.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, Fort Collins is a great town. I miss it a lot. I live in, you know, down south in Littleton now. For those listening out there who haven't figured it out yet, we're in Colorado. So HexMag is a Colorado company, been around for a little over a year now. Is that right?
Year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay. And how did HexMag start?
Oh, now you're talking secrets here. In late 2012, Aaron, my partner, and his brother, who's not part of the business, decided that they wanted to make 3D printed magazines. Of course, they didn't realize a 3D printed magazine actually cost about $400 to get printed and lasts about 30 rounds. So if you look through our boxes of memorabilia from the early days, there's probably about 12 or 15 magazines that they produced trying to get something that worked. And then from there, Aaron started making molds to start this business. And since I was running one of Aaron's other businesses, I kind of, you know, as default, he came back to me to say, hey, you know, we need to get this moving. Can you help me? And I said, sure, I can help you, but I'm not working for you. You know, I want to be part of the company because it has, you know, has a lot of potential. So I worked with Aaron for 6 years prior doing eBay sales on automation equipment. So it was salvage automation. So we were pretty familiar about machinery, machine tools, and, you know, it's one of my hobbies before I started here. So even before I started with Aaron, I was pretty familiar with what was going on in his business. I had my own eBay business at one point. So, but I came from an IT background.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in IT, and before that, copiers, working for manufacturers. So I had a pretty varied background. So that, so when we finally got to the point where Aaron got to the point where he had a mold, but it wasn't working right, and his suppliers were charging way too much to actually make a magazine, that's kind of where I took over. And I haven't really looked back since.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of got it out of the dirt and resurrected the project, got all the right pricing on the plastics, found the right people to do the molding, and I guess the rest is history. But Aaron is the idea guy, and, you know, he comes up with an idea every week, and I have to say no. And every once in a while he comes up with an idea that's, you know, yeah, I want to do that. And, you know, I start going to work again. We're coming out with the HexMag Grip pretty soon in conjunction with X-Tech. So it has three positions on the grip. So it's, I forget what the, you remember the degrees were?
Yeah, it's like 17, 25, and 33 degrees is what you can set that grip at.
Oh, cool. So
if you're doing some in-close shooting, you can adjust that grip, you know, further down. And, you know, just adjust it to your hand style.
That's awesome. So is that the one that I saw on the screens over there? This background on one of the computer monitors?
Yeah, I think that was a prototype.
That's a prototype?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, we have a couple of samples here you can take a look at before you leave.
Nice.
But it was kind of a, we'll call it a interim. Sorry, that's my phone.
Oh, that's your phone. It's like,
I thought I turned
the lottery. That's all right.
It's another order. We just won the lottery
all right.
again.
Yeah.
So, the grip was what we call an interim project, where we weren't fully spending the money for a mold. We were using somebody's existing facility, X-Techs. They just made the hand grip for us. So we basically paid them for just the hand grip mold. And the stuff on the top is their patent, the three position.
Very cool.
They're also coming out with AK versions, which means our grip will be able to fit on an AK and also a SCAR.
Interesting.
So when they come out with those adapters, we can sell it as three different products. And we hope to have the grip in all colors that we make the magazine in.
Oh, very cool.
So you can do it matching.
Matching is very important in the AR-15 world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, except if you look at a SCAR.
17 different colors of plastic and aluminum.
Yeah, FDE1, FDE2, FDE3, FDE4. And I guess from a long distance, it looks like FDE, but close up, it's 15 different colors.
Nice.
So we're trying to get close to matching a competitor of ours with the gray. So they'll have, you know, matching furniture to go with our magazine.
Very cool.
And as soon as we get a gray we're happy with, we'll start production on that.
Excuse me.
We're also working with a bunch of other companies for extensions for the bottom of the mag. Another company who's doing stickers to fit within the mag pattern, the hex mm-hmm. pattern, basically pre-cut out for the magazine. That's Design Hex.
Yeah.
Company.
So you guys do a like a grippy tape thing for the internal portion of the mag now.
Yes, but this the Design Hex is just a sticker. So okay. if you wanted to put the American flag on and you're okay with just the hexagon part as being grippy enough for you, that's fine. But if you really want super grip, then you really need to put the hex grip that we sell.
Cool.
We don't pre-cut it for the magazine, so there is a little bit of cutting if you want to fill out the entire magazine, but it's really not necessary to do that. And that's also so compatible with the grip that we're doing.
Very cool.
So,
yeah, right now it's just cut into 46 hexagons.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you wanted to fill in the half hexagons, that's when you'd have to get a little creative with a razor blade, but it's pretty easy.
Cool.
So,
yeah, so I've seen a lot of great pictures of your guys' stuff out there, and it seems like it's the Hex Mag is something new and unique that people are really digging into. It's a magazine that actually works, which is nice. And, you know, with the grip tape you were talking about, there's all kinds of opportunities to accessorize and customize and make your stuff your own, which, you know, in the three-gun world, people love doing that type of stuff, too. So you mentioned that you've got a grip coming out, and you told me about another product earlier. So where do you see Hex Mag going as far as, you know, like a full product line, if you could look in 10 years in the future?
Yeah, full product line.
I think in short, really, we want to be a polymer furniture manufacturer.
Okay.
Not couches, not chairs, but, you know, Lazy stocks boys. And grips and anything else you can put on a gun. Can we put the hexagon pattern on everything? You know, we're kind of skeptical about that, but we do want a full range of products. You know, what we feel like is, you know, we're catering to some of the people that Magpul does not cater to.
Okay.
You know, they treat smaller gun manufacturers with disdain. That's coming from smaller gun manufacturers, not from me personally. But, you know, we always have to talk about Magpul because they are the 800-pound gorilla in the business. So what we first started doing is, since we did first start selling the magazines in 2014, when basically the bottom dropped out after the Obama was going to take my guns away,
mm-hmm.
we were kind of stuck trying to figure out how we're going to sell these magazines. So we turned to OEM gun manufacturers, and we got a good reception from them because we hate Magpul. Because in 2013, they didn't get all the parts we needed to sell our guns when everybody was buying guns.
Okay, and so that's what you're hearing from the gun manufacturers?
Yeah, and or they'd have to buy it from somebody else because they couldn't afford the buy-in. So we're strictly, you know, we started with that OEM thing. It's like, look, we'll never screw you. You're always the first one to get magazines. You know, if something crazy happens in, let's say, the next year during the political
mm-hmm.
turmoil, of, you know,
of the election. Yeah.
Of the election. Who knows what it's going to be. You know, we'll be there. We'll get you your magazine so you can sell your guns readily. I can't say that for the rest of the parts that are on their guns. But,
right.
you know, if they need the magazines, they're first in line. So you can go out and buy your gun and get your hex mag.
Yeah, as the rifle manufacturer, they will always have the support of the magazine manufacturer. And they can always get a hold of us. They will always purchase through us. You know, they will never have to purchase third party, you know, from a distributor or anything. They, you know, they can come directly to us. So
that's great, and it's important to keep those, you know, relationships strong like that too. And you know, since we're in Colorado, you know, we've got new magazine limits. So I did the same thing as anyone else did. I went and bought, you know, 30 P mags, and now they're sitting in my cabinet, and I use two of them. So it's you know, it's interesting when you talk about like the political climate, because it's very near and dear to us here in Colorado, because we just dealt with all that in 2013 You know, every single day there was something new, and unfortunately we lost, and now we're fighting for the rights to come back. But the cool thing about your guys' product is you do sell magazines to, say, you know, not so gun friendly states like Colorado, who unfortunately.
Or you mean California?
Yeah, exactly. California, New Jersey, right?
That's a state that usually comes to mind when everybody talks about very unfriendly gun mm-hmm. states.
And so if someone's listening to this and they don't know about your product, and what I'm talking about is as far as like what the unique thing is that you offer, what is that that unique thing?
Well, the first of all is when we did the design for the magazine, it's not the same design as you find everywhere else. Everybody was copying the design of the most productive magazine manufacturer. So everything was similar in style and texture, very blocky. Mm-hmm. So when we did the Hex Mag, we kind of got away from all of that squareness, and now we have like 8 straight lines. So the magazine itself is definitely a design improvement over it. It increases the grip. It allows us to remove some of the material and make it lighter. Mm-hmm. And it looks better in all guns. You know, if you look at a Hex Mag as opposed to, I'll say Pro Mag this time, mm-hmm. you know, you don't really notice the Hex Mag standing out there, but you'll notice the Pro Mag standing out on the gun. So as a gun manufacturer, I want my gun to stand out. So we think our magazine actually fits in cosmetically better with most guns than other people. We designed it pretty simply. After AK-47, and even has kind of that AK-47-ish shape. And, you know, as Magpul has a lot of patents on their magazine, we had to make sure we didn't step into that pitfall. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming if they found anything we did, we would have been sued a long time ago.
Well, and that actually turned into like a design feature of yours. You know, as Jake was showing me the smooth bore of the magazine, and, you know, the uniqueness of the follower and stuff like that.
Yes, it also allowed us to, we didn't know this at the time when we started manufacturing this, but, you know, the 300 ACC blackout was a little bit too long for some magazines. Okay. 4.58 SOCOM didn't work in some, 50 Beowulf, and people were saying, hey, I'm running this stuff through your mag. So now it's like, oh, you can pretty much run anything that fits in a standard AR mag in our mag.
That's cool.
You know, like a GI mag would, but, you know, it was a good added bonus. So now we're promoting that it's, you know, universally used. You can use it for many guns. And I guess that's how the Hex ID also came about. It wasn't that, so the Hex ID is a color identification system that we sell as a extension to the magazine. So it's like the grip tape. It's a secondary product. Mm-hmm. The magazine itself, if you don't get it through a manufacturer who orders black from us or OD green or some other color, you know, didn't come with your gun, it generally comes with an orange. Anything that's retail packages has orange. So it's a bright, you know, I've cleared my gun kind of, setup.
Okay.
So we felt orange was, you know, pretty good. We didn't want to put pink in as a default color.
I like the pink. The pink's great. Yeah, and you do have you know, all kinds of cool colors, and that's one thing that I really like about the magazine too is the mag ID. So you can look down, you know, if it's in a pouch or something like that,
yes,
and actually see, you know, which one you have. Because in 3-gun we shoot, you know, multiple different types of rounds in the same stage. So I can go look in my gear bag and see, like, okay, there's my green one that in my head I've identified that as my 77 grain long range round, or the orange is going to be just, you know, my standard 5.56 55 grain that I'm going to be, you know, shooting on the paper targets.
Correct.
So, yeah, that part's really cool.
Well, it kind of came about because of the 300 blackout versus 5.56 controversy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard to tell at a glance looking at the follower what you have in there. So with the Hex ID, you know, you can color code it before. Of course, you have to remember what color you did it. So that's probably the only drawback, because it doesn't say 300 blackout on the color. You know, you can take orange or blue or black or whatever you want to do to, you know, we don't have any set colors that you have to follow.
Right.
But, you know, as it goes, as you say, there's so much different, you know, standard ammo that you can carry, you know. that you don't want to sit there and mistakenly shoot your range ammo when that's your your competition ammo.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's that as well.
Yeah, you know, I've shot with guys on stages when, you know, they've been chasing targets at 300 yards and just can't hit it. And then at the end of the stage, you look at the brass that they have laying all over the ground because they, you know, couldn't nail that target. And they're like, damn it, this is my 55 grain stuff. You know, I meant to be shooting 69 or 77 or something like that. Their long range load. And so, yeah, they grabbed the wrong mag at the beginning of the stage.
Well, it's definitely different. We still feel that the marketing for it's still not there on our side. And we're still trying to put this out as a feature rather than just some, something to sell to somebody just to make the extra money.
Right.
It was never meant for that. It was really meant for ammo identification. But, you know, you could always put pink in your wife's magazine, and she has a pink gun that'll work for her, and you give her all the crappy ammunition, so you know you never take the pink one.
Oh, man. Never going shooting with you.
Well, mostly we just shoot the worst ammunition we can find because, you know, that kind of gives us a warm and cozy feeling when we're shooting steel wolf ammo through our magazine and it's still working. We're happy that it's still working because we know if we went to a higher, grade of ammo that, you know, we're kind of working with the best you can shoot through there. So it's, it makes it too easy.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Yeah. So when you do your testing, you run the gamut through there, just all kinds of crap you can find.
Well, yep. We have tens of thousands of rounds of wolf ammo to shoot. So, you know, it really does. We try to put the worst possible case scenario through the magazines when we shoot it.
So what did the product testing look like? How did you guys perform that?
The initial product testing or current product testing?
Well, tell me about the initial and tell me how you've changed it into the current iteration.
Just trying to put it, just trying to figure out what a magazine would go through. Anything from drop tests, full auto, various different rifle platform. I mean, anything that would take an AR mag. You know, we're running magazines through it, drop testing, just trying to think of any scenario what a magazine would go through. Mm-hmm. So
we actually call manufacturers and send them our magazines to test.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we don't test every single magazine, even though, I'd like to have 300 magazines in my, unfortunately, 4x4 foot locker at the moment.
Right.
But, it's originally we did a lot of drop testing.
Okay.
We probably ruined about 2,000 or 3,000 rounds because once you drop it 5 or 6 times, you start getting dents in the rounds, and it looks pretty ratty. Yeah. And when we did our first batch of FDE and OD Green, we weren't really too happy with the drop capability of that. So we spent another 6 months, starting last November, to come out with a much better plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So after 6 months, we have a plastic we think is semi-indestructible.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still polymer, but it'll handle some abuse, that's for sure.
So what we do now is every color that comes out, we drop it. We take 3 magazines. We drop it 20 times with a full load. If it doesn't crack the back of the magazine, because if your viewers don't know, the back of the magazine with the feed lips is the only part that really holds the ammo in. And that's why you always get the crack at the back of the magazine, and it never cracks on the front.
Okay.
Because it's really never putting enough pressure on the front of the magazine because you have that large gap between the feed lips and the front of the mag. So, it allows the bullets to come up and kind of sit there. So if there were no feed lips, it would never break. Of course, it would come straight out of the top.
Yeah. Wouldn't exactly stay in there, would it? Yeah.
No, but we've got until we can drop it 20 times, do it on the next one, do it on the next one. We have broken base plates and followers and latch plates doing this. So we've broken everything in the mag except for the mag itself. And honestly, if anybody drops their mags 20 times, they really have sticky fingers. So we think after 6 months, it actually held up our FDE and OD Green production.
Mm-hmm.
because we were looking at this plastic and we just couldn't get it right. We couldn't get the color right. We tried different manufacturers and, you know, now we think we have the toughest product in the market. I'm going to do some product testing with our competition soon and see how far we can push the mag. We're changing the base plate because we think it's too weak.
Mm-hmm.
So we are working on our mag and trying to tweak it as best we can for what we call Series 1. So we're never sitting on our laurels just trying to sell it. We're still trying to tweak it. We have some new molds being made. So in those molds, we'll be tweaking the Series 1, hopefully, to where it's finally going to be. What a Series 2 is, I have no idea. It may always be a Series 1, but
maybe some polygons?
Octagons? Octagons.
Diamonds. Yeah. Diamonds. There we go.
We'll have to change our name, though.
Yeah. Diamond Mag.
Hex Diamond Mag.
To back that up, we offer a lifetime warranty on all of our magazines. We've had that from the beginning, and we will maintain that probably forever. So if anybody does, you know, throw one out in the parking lot and run it over with a truck, it breaks, take a picture of it, send it to me, and I'll send you a new magazine.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know, there's no hoops to jump through with a lifetime warranty. It's, you know, just call us up and let us know what happened, and I'll send you a new one.
Very cool.
That means lifetime, yeah. So if it's 15 years from now and you finally break the mag, give us a call. We'll replace it.
Excellent. That's cool.
Hopefully we'll still have some Series 1 left, but who knows what it'll be.
So you guys have branched out a little bit, and you're actually sponsoring a couple 3-gunners this year. Is that right?
Yeah, several. we started out, none of us knew anything about 3-gun competition. Just none of us, I don't think any of us have ever shot competition here.
Okay.
So we got hooked up with a guy by the name of John Rodriguez. He's a really good 3-gun shooter down in Florida. Really liked the products, and he helped us kind of get off the ground. He, you know, we gave him a bunch of magazines, and he got them in the hands of other shooters, as well as doing some giveaways and stuff like that. So it was a marketing venture for us, as well as, you know, helping us out to get more shooters. And then he got them in the hands of, you know, guys like Moshaw, Chris Mulberry, Jansen, Jessica Brown, Jason Stokes, just to name a few, Robbie Watson. So those are pretty much our sponsored 3-gun shooters that we have.
That's cool, yeah. And it's exciting. You know, I pay attention to, obviously, you know, everything that goes on in the 3-gun industry, you know, watching people on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. And it's cool to see your guys' product out there. And then when I found that you guys were a local company, I figured, hey, I gotta go talk to them.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's exciting. So how has that been for you? Are you guys, you know, seeing any return on the getting the product out there as far as happening at matches and stuff?
Definitely, because the club level shooters, those are the guys that are out buying products. They're not. Hang on one second.
What? Sure.
Yeah. It's like doing a podcast at a trade show.
Exactly. So to back up, you were saying that the club level shooters are the where you're seeing
the return on investment. Exactly. Yeah, because those are the guys that are having to, you know, go out there and buy all their products. They're not sponsored yet, so they see, you know, we run the gamut as far as pro shooters to junior shooters, and, you know, everybody in between. So that's where these guys, you know, they may pick up a mag or two that we do a giveaway at a match at. So then they say, oh, okay, well, I need to go buy 5 more, 10 more of these mags. So that's where we're seeing the return on investment, as well as, you know, the exposure in the industry and everything like that.
Sure. Yeah, just getting them in the hands of the shooter is probably a good thing.
Yeah. And to back up on a question you asked before,
sure.
All of our 3-gun shooters have been invaluable as far as, you know, product testing and stuff like that. When we came out with our new colors, we had a test batch run. I took those and I sent them out to all of our 3-gun shooters, and I said, you know, run these because they're the ones that are going to be putting these things through the paces. So they've, you know, that's one area that they've been invaluable to us on that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've heard that a bunch of times before. In fact, I was talking to Freedom Munitions, and they were saying that, you know, they love 3-gun and they get behind 3-gun so much because they're seeing repeat customers rather than the guy who's going to, you know, buy, you know, 15 hex mags or, you know, a case of 5.56, stuff it in his basement under his canned ham and his beans and stuff, mm-hmm. like that, and then, you know, never shoot them or never use them. We're using stuff every single weekend, and we're using it hard.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure for an ammo manufacturer, because that's probably the biggest – I think that is the biggest expense for a 3-gun person. I mean, because you're going through probably, you know, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 rounds a week. you know, to be a you know, where you want to be in three gun. So that's,
yeah, exactly.
That is a big expense.
The people that are out there practicing every day are for sure doing that. So yeah, it's a huge thing. So what's next? So you guys you got a grip in the works. Any other products we can keep an eye out for?
you'd have to ask Aaron.
We're trying to keep it close to our chest. No, we're cool. Looking to do a 308 round magazine. That seems to be the next big hurdle for us. Hopefully we'll start developing it later in the year and maybe have it ready after the SHOT Show. But it's all wishful thinking. It depends on how busy we get. We're still a pretty small company, and you know, we don't have enough hands to do everything all at once. So it's a bit of a thing, but that's what I'd like to see, a 308. Somebody wants 20-round mags, you know, cut so they can do prone shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big thing to do with what we have, but, you know, it costs money.
Sure.
First thing about magazines is everybody thinks that, like, they're printed on, you know, cheaply on some kind of press. Somebody put some plastic together. Well, they're big, heavy, gigantic, very expensive molds that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very expensive to actually say, yeah, I can make that, but, you know, it's going to cost me $250,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the tooling costs have got to be huge on that.
Yes, and then you're talking about people that design the new tool, making a 3D print just to run it through a gun, again, around $400 to have it done right, you know, and come out to your specs. I mean, we have a 3D printer here, and we use it all the time. But nobody ever uses it to put a magazine in a gun.
Yeah.
You know, we do grips and other parts, base plates or something like that, maybe a follower.
It's like just prototyping stuff?
Yeah, basic prototyping. Let's see what it looks like.
Oh, okay.
So you know, we can do that in-house, but when it comes to a real product, you really have to send it out and get it done. Just two of the new grips being prototyped was $360. I think the guy got a deal on it. It's not our place.
Yeah.
They would have charged $560. But, you know, it's Colorado. We use the closest people we have because we get it fast.
Sure. Well, that's totally cool, too. I like the idea of, you know, supporting local businesses as well, and it's cool to see you guys doing that.
I mean, I'd love to make, you know, AK mags and, what was it, 608 mags?
Oh, 6.8, yeah.
Yeah, 6.8,
and 6.8,
sorry.
Yeah, mags. In due time, as the money gets there and the company grows, we'll have it. Yeah, it's just, can't just create this stuff overnight.
Yeah, for sure. Well, exciting stuff coming from Hex Mag, and, you know, I walked around your guys' shop today, and you guys got a lot of good stuff going on. So thanks for taking the time for giving me the tour and sitting down and talking with me today.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
It's nice
thank
to you have you here, give you the tour, and show you all our great products.
Right on. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks.
And get your hands out of the box.
So that was George and Jake at Hex Mag HQ. And once we had finished chatting and doing a couple demo videos for their Hex ID system, I headed over to Jensen Arms, a gun shop in Loveland, Colorado, where they were having Glock days, and Aaron was on hand to chat with people about Hex Mag. So listen in.
All right, so I'm here with Aaron of Hex Mag at Jensen Arms. We're standing at the gun counter, so you can probably hear a lot of people in the background buying guns, getting Benchmade knives engraved, and stuff of that nature. So Aaron just talked with your crew over at the at Hex Mag headquarters and came over here to talk to you and see if we can fill some of the holes in on the story. And just
right.
Chatting with you over the counter here.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun, man. So yeah, thanks taking the time to do this.
Hey, it's no problem. I like wearing headphones inside the store. Make me look really weird.
Yeah, we're getting all kinds of weird looks
killer.
From people, too. So.
I love it.
Yeah, it's center of attention.
Yep.
Love it. So we were just talking a minute ago, and I asked you why magazines. And you had a great response, which was?
Oh, well, I said because of the product offerings in the market currently. I felt that there was room for improvement. Right? And I designed a product that came up in, I helped to make sure that a product came to market that was designed in this fashion. And people really liked the designs and the idea, and so we went forward and manufactured the product, and it's been well accepted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really well accepted. And your question was, why the magazine? Because in our industry, like the firearms industry, this is probably the single most the single number of highest number of accessories sold out of anything else. Mm-hmm. Like if a guy comes in the store and he's going to buy an accessory, like more AR-15 magazines than any other individual accessory are probably sold, I think. I don't have any real numbers to back it up, but it makes sense to me. So I was like, well, let's do it.
Well, you know, as a three gunner, I own probably, I don't know, 50, 60 mags, something like that.
There you go.
You know, right before the ban here in Colorado, I bought 30 of them myself for no good reason. We already had a whole bunch of them.
Piles of the same thing for the exact same area. And I'm like, that probably helped too, because I was like, I should be making these, not just piling them up.
You know? Exactly.
Because then I could be selling them and making the money as opposed to the other way around.
Absolutely.
So that was probably part of the thought process.
And so what was that, like 2013?
Yeah, probably.
Am I standing in your way, sir?
No, I just haven't seen the X-Project cam.
Oh, okay. Feel free. Check it out. It's just sitting here in the way.
Aaron brought with him an X-Product's can cannon. And we've got a gentleman here that is checking it out and looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, that is seriously my favorite range toy. I do not leave without the can-can. If I'm going outside, it's going with, generally. Like, we're going to go shoot something, that comes with. Don't care what else it is. Like, let's see if you can do pistol practice. Yep, got to bring can-can. Like, it's not a range day if you don't bring that.
Exactly. Launch some soda out downrange.
Doing what? Are you doing mag kits yet? Not yet. This is it so far. Yeah. But
no, I mean, you don't sell them apart?
No, but... Okay.
I got you.
Yeah. You can ask the ladies. They definitely will be able to tell you where you can get them if you need them.
Yes, I got you.
We're recording a podcast.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you did. Good job.
Do you want to come say hi?
You could throw in a Jensen Arms plug. By the way, come down tomorrow for blah, 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 and we're going to do the Marine Corps League and the raffle and the other stuff.
Well, you just did it. So.
No, it wasn't a good one, though. I didn't have a girl voice. It just sounds stupid. Sorry.
That's quite all right.
You can edit that out if you need to.
No, that's quite all right. I love it. The reality we're in a popular place.
We should do this more often. We should go to places and just stand in the middle of a really busy area and just do this. Just look at each other.
Apparently, it's a great way to meet chicks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Once you put the headphones on, then they're kind of a captive audience.
There you go.
If they try to run away, they could.
Yeah, she can only get like 6 feet.
Yep.
So. There you go.
Oh,
I never thought
like
of that.
If you try to run off, then it trips you, and then you get bound up, then he has to help you up, and, you know. Hey, weird, stranger things have happened, okay? I can attest to it. I've lived it.
Okay. So, Aaron, you decide to design a magazine. You've got your magazine in production now. You've been doing this for, you know, a couple years.
March of 2000, not this year.
2014.
Yeah, there you go. So it's been like a year and a half that we've had a product on the market. Really didn't take off until, like, last, like, August... before when I started the Instagram feed, honestly, it was about the same time. That didn't have anything to do with it, but it did help push it along. So once we started our Instagram feed, it's about the same time that we started becoming a lot more known in the industry because we'd made a lot of friends and connections, and then obviously our social media has only helped grow the connections and the market share for a product. So.
Well, and social media is huge, especially in this industry where, you know, you're kicked out of a lot of traditional media.
Yeah. Well, and or it's impractical for us to be. I mean, we can't pay for the traditional media that we need to. I mean, we're just getting into some of that now, but, we could spend $100,000 and people would be like, oh, I might have heard of you, because it's only like that group of people that would read the magazines at Barnes & Noble, which is where I saw them on a regular basis.
Yeah,
but that's that. But then there's the guys that are just on the internet, or just guys that are on AR-15, or just guys that only go to their local gun store. I mean, and they don't always cross the path. So you have all these different market segments that you need to reach into, and social media is a huge part of that, because that's where guys are like, "Hey, have you seen this? No, I didn't see that." You know, they tell other friends about it, and that's the grassroots marketing campaigning thing. That's kind of It's been a lot of fun too. We've met so many cool people.
Instagram seems like a perfect medium for you guys, because your magazine is design based. It's aesthetic, and guys like to shove that in their AR-15 and take pictures of it.
Yeah.
In fact, we're scrolling through right now.
Dude,
there's tons of them.
Yeah, it is really a big deal, and because of that, because of its look, I mean, it shows up in a lot of places that you wouldn't necessarily. I mean, because of the design aspects of it, it's gotten a lot more. It's gotten so much traction in social media and even traditional media that we could never have paid for because, like, it just it couldn't have happened. You know what I mean? It's got so many places. Like, this is just because these guys are doing a new one. We're friends with them. They made the rifle. We're in there, and so we're on the front of this ballistics magazine. And I got a copy of it the other day, and I'm like, holy cow.
Holy cow,
I've been waiting
us.
For, like, I didn't know when, like, I was waiting just for us to be in an ad to be like, yeah, this is good. And that happened 3 or 4 months previous. And now we're on the front cover of some of these things. That's pretty neat.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was stoked when he got that. That's a pretty good deal. So
when you set out to develop this magazine, what was the impetus or the motivation behind the hex part of it?
Well, that was just kind of, you know, you can't. That came along from, you know, design experiments, basically. That was pretty much what the design came out to begin with. It was hexagons. So it was just, so we went through a lot of different iterations of how that was going to look. And eventually we settled on this, you know, and it's a natural, you know, or we came up with a reasoning behind it after the fact, really, you know, because it's a natural design. And it, these are about finger size, like, so that you, it gets good personal, you feel it. Good traction on it with your hands, you know, it's about the right size for people. But, you know, the primary users of these are people,
right?
I mean, just normally, I mean, not children or monkeys, regular sized people between 3 and 6 foot on average. So that's the design idea, you know. It's a natural form. It's been in everything and every kind of marketing and every industry thing ever. I mean, you look at Pepsi and Coke and Anheuser-Busch or Boeing or Lockheed Martin or anybody, like, they probably all have some sort of this somewhere in their marketing at some point. Like, if it's not, if it's a background graphic or something. I mean, it is literally everywhere if you look for it. Like, people point it out all the time. I had some guy text me a picture of the inside of a bathroom at Disney World. He's like, Hex Mag in the bathroom. I was like, oh, dude. Like, it was just the floor. It wasn't like...
Well, it's probably that case where you buy a Suburban and you notice it everywhere. So since you run a company called Hex Mag, that you notice these hexes.
Well, or everybody else does, and they just point it out to us, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of a very ubiquitous design. I mean, it's a hexagon. It's kind of, it's a natural form, both in nature and rock formation. I mean, it's pretty nuts. So, there you go. The natural form of the hexagon on a magazine. Yay. It's not the first time it's been done in the industry, but, you know, we're taking it, owning it, and making it ours.
Very good. And it looks aesthetic. It's, you know, it's nice, pleasing, and it's all over. And
yeah,
I'm
right
pointing
on
at your Ballistic magazine debut
front
on the
page,
cover.
Yeah,
here.
That's cool.
It is cool.
You know, and then we decided to change it up a little bit and add, like, you know, the grip tape so it could be personalized. And other people have taken that even further. And it's pretty. There's a lot that's been done with it in a short period of time.
So yeah. One thing that came up multiple times talking to George and Jake is that you have, like, an idea a minute, and that sometimes they have to wrangle you in and focus your energy.
Yeah, basically, like, I would be considered an upper, and everyone else would be considered, well, not exactly as much of one. All right, am I going to... And I don't come up with an idea a minute. It might be, like, every day I come up with something new. They're like, we have to do this, or we... It's tapered off a little bit, too. It depends on how motivated I'm feeling at the time or what's going on or if I had coffee for breakfast, you know. It really depends. So, yeah, you know, I'm the driving force behind it. I'm the one that's like, let's do the script. I found this guy. Let's do the thing. And we were looking to do one anyways because it's a natural progression of our product line. And it's right there in the bottom of the rifle, both of them. It kind of makes sense to put them together. So, yeah, me and Jeremy got together and started working on that idea probably in January of this year or something. February? I don't know. It's a while ago. But eventually, we worked it all out and got to this point. But without the other guys, none of it happens, really, because I come up with the ideas and I start it, and then I'm like, squirrel. You know? Just do my own thing over there. Like, sometimes I come back, but that's why we don't have more colors of this, because I would do it on somebody's head and say, come on.
And you're pointing at the hex grip panels.
Eventually, we'll have new colors for that. But
so, where does this creativity come from? Have you always been a creative type?
I don't know.
Were you like an artist growing up or anything?
No, not really. Just a kind of a outside the box thinker, and I don't like just sitting around. So I've always liked the firearm industry, you know, and working with the designer on this originally inspired me to do more with it. See as far as I could take
this design and what I could do with that as impetus. You know, even I have to, I take, you know, inspiration from all sorts of places and try to apply it and work through my channels of people that I'm surrounded with to coalesce it into something useful. Yeah. I mean, even in the business before, that I had before this, the one I still have, you know, it was, I always worked off of other people and I'm inspired by what they did and I take it even further. They're like, man, I don't know if we should do that. I'm like, oh yeah, buy them all. Everything. Go nuts. Five tractor trailers for the stuff. Yeah, just buy it all. Everything. Every last one of them. And they're like, dude, do you, what? Whatever. Kind of always been a little bit just do it first and figure out the rest of it later. Like, you know, just jump in both feet, commit to it, and the rest will sort itself out.
That's awesome, and it seems to be working out for you.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Haven't failed yet. But not taking that one off the table. You know, it's okay. Yeah. I don't know where it comes from. I mean, I've always been somewhat creative, thinking outside the box, doing things that aren't conventional with stuff. That's why I like the can cannon. I'm like, what a great idea. Yeah, I'm absolutely shooting soda cans 100 yards. There's no practical use for it, and that's why it's amazing. Right? There's a practical exactly. use. It's good for delivering soda cans to a car 100 yards away. You know, just shouldn't be anybody's car that's usable and in good shape and is on they're, you know what I mean. It's got to be, you got to have permission to do it.
Right.
And it's great for shooting with shotguns.
It's yeah, perfect.
It is. It's amazing. So, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, awesome.
That's where we're at.
Well, Aaron, well, I appreciate you taking the time out to chat with me today and also, you know, take a minute from chatting with people about the,
it's no
the
problem.
Hex Mags here at Jensen Arms to do the podcast.
Yeah. It's no problem.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Aaron, George, and Jake from Hex Mag. These guys are a lot of fun, and they're doing great things, so be sure to check them out at hexmag.com. And I actually got the opportunity to try out a couple of the mags, their mags in my own rifle, and they work awesome. They work, they fit every round. They dropped free, dropped them on the ground, accidentally stomped on them a couple times, and they work great. So if you're in the market for some magazines and you're looking for something different, definitely check out Hex Mag. Again, you can find the links to everything we discussed in this episode by cruising over to the website and checking out the show notes at 3gunshow.com/episode28. Anytime you have any thoughts or feedback or guest suggestions, you can email me. I'm dave@3gunshow.com. If you like the show, please tell a friend, subscribe in iTunes, and leave a review. And I'd like to read you a couple of reviews. This was a lot of fun last time I did it. People seem to like it. So this one is from Destroyer Nate that says, my favorite gun podcast. This is a really well done show from an entertaining and audio quality standpoint. Dave asks interesting questions, not boring softballs. The most fascinating thing I have learned has been just how many ways there are to enjoy this sport. That's awesome. Thanks, Destroyer or Nate. Next one is from CBJFan75. Great show, Dave. Been listening a while on Stitcher via a Galaxy device. Recently switched to iOS and will continue listening on here. Keep up the good work. Thank you, sir. Or ma'am. CBJ fan, whatever you are. Okay, next one is from JB Creech. Must listen for new three gunners. You want to hear what the top pro shooters did to get to the top? What gear they use, how to train, etc.? If so, the Three Gun Show is the podcast for you. Plus, get a feel for who they are off the range, and most importantly, their walkout song. Well, thank you, JB Creech. Appreciate that. And if you're listening to this and you know you got something to say, you know, good or bad, would love to hear from you. And you can do it in the form of a review. One last piece of business here: we're going to be giving away some sweet gear, courtesy of Hunter Kale, who you heard in the previous episode. That would be 3gunshow.com/episode27. 3gunshow.com/episode27. So, Hunter, after we got off the line, threw this amazing thing down. He's like, hey, Dave, I got a bunch of gear here that I know guys will use that that I'm not using right now, and I want to give it away. And what he gave, what he threw in was a 15-inch 2A armament M-Lock free float tube, a Magpul Gen 3 P-Mag with a Terran Tactical base plate, and a set of No Excuses chamber flags, and a handful of nub stickers, courtesy of Hunter Kale. So
The winner on that one withdrew number 105, and number 105 in the spreadsheet is Leon Oliver. Leon Oliver. So, Leon, congratulations. We are going to be getting in touch with you. We will need to get address and mailing info and stuff like that, and you just want some sweet gear that's worth about $500, courtesy of our buddy Hunter Kale. So that's going to do it for the show this week. Thank you so much for downloading, listening, and subscribing. I'll catch you in the next episode.
Unload show clear.
No problem. Want to talk to? No?
She doesn't want to talk, it looks like.
No? That's a little bit of a waiver. It's not 100% committed to no.
What am I going to talk about?
I don't know. Here.
Now you're committed.
I'm Dave. I guess now I'm committed. Hi, I'm Aliana. Nice to meet
you. Aliana, very nice to meet you too. So you work here at Jensen Arms.
I do, yep.
You're on the Three Gun Show. So this is a podcast that I do. It's based on the sport of three gun.
Nice.
Yeah, and I chat with Aaron's doing
We're
some
over here
tactical
having a little
posing.
Bit too much fun.
This is way too much fun. That's right.
Yeah, too bad nobody can see this right now because
I know.
That
it's
a Three Gun Show, not the
Three Gun. Right. Audio only, unfortunately. Yes. For now. Exactly.
That's just good ammo for the future, you know, when I need to blackmail him for something.
There you go. That's perfect. So, what's new?
Not much. Just same old, selling guns.
What kind of event do you guys have going here? I came to the parking lot. Parking lot's packed. There's giant trucks everywhere.
It's actually Glock Days right now.
Okay.
Yep. So,
and what is Glock Days?
We have a bunch of new Glocks in. I have a bunch of sales going on. Photo time. Yeah, a bunch of sales going on. A lot of different reps here, of course, obviously. Hex Mag, Surefire, new Viking Armaments here. They have some really awesome new rifles. I love them. I really want one so bad.
Yeah, do you know anyone that would sell you one?
Hmm?
Do you know anyone that would sell you one?
One of the new... Yeah, they've offered to give me a discount on one and... Saving up. I know what to ask for Christmas.
There you go.
But yeah, so just sales on ammo, sales on accessories, bunch of new Glocks in.
Right on. Well,
just a party.
Just a party. And now we're doing a podcast right on the counter.
Yeah, exactly.
Which apparently is like throwing lures.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Hex Mag was standing here, and then all of a sudden there was cords, and there was headphones and microphones. I'm like, what in the world?
Like, I need to come check this out, see what's going on.
I need to go check that out.
Awesome. Well, Aliana, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. No problem.